In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen. Mystery is a word that's lost its meaning. We've turned it into a synonym for a puzzle or a genre of literature. What is a mystery? A whodunit. A narrative to be solved and resolved by the end of the hour of television, by the last page of a novel. One that can be spoiled by a casual word from another person or by glancing ahead a few pages. That's a mystery to some. In my first parish in Iowa, there was a wonderful elderly gentleman and his wife who greeted me every Sunday, grabbed me on the way to the coffee pot, grabbed my hand, this man did, and he held on for a long time. And I'd never remember exactly what the details were, but there was always something that was a mystery. Children were a mystery. Society was a mystery. Life was a mystery. Coffee was a mystery, in fact. Any number of things were a mystery from this delightful saint of the Lord, who I'm sure is now in our Lord's presence. It's a mystery, Harold would say, but I'm not sure he knew quite what that word meant. Maybe our common use of the word has in fact stripped away the mystery from it, because we've taken something and simplified it. We've made mysteries something that can be kept under control, because isn't that the goal of the modern world? We would understand everything. Take away the mysterious and replace it with theories and facts sometimes. Anything to explain the way things work and to not leave any question unanswered, even if we have to go out on a limb. But a true mystery is something more than what we've made it. It's a word we've taken straight from Greek, mysterion. And the ancients used it outside of the church to refer to deep secrets, particularly to religious rites and ceremonies that were done privately, away from the prying eyes of outsiders, the kind of rites and ceremonies that no Christian would have participated in. Pagan things, bloody rites, fertility rites, all done in secret, a mystery to describe what they thought were holy things. But Christians used the word in another way and lifted it up to mean something more significant. A mystery was something that could only be made known when God revealed it. It's not something impossible or something incomprehensible, but it is an admission that we don't know everything and that God does not always give us all the data to know the hows and the whys of things, but he does reveal his will. He does reveal his purpose. He reveals his grace. At the time of the Reformation, Lutheranism was sometimes summarized with the great solas, as it is to this day. Sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura, solus Christus, words that adorn one of our banners on Sundays. Grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone, Christ alone. And each of those solas is answering a different sort of question, but they're all focused on the work of Christ for us in one way or another. And when I think of mystery, I see an application of sola scriptura. For the uniqueness, dare I say, the genius of Lutheranism is seen in the way that it receives God's word and lets the main subject of Christ's word always be prominent. Genuine Lutheranism is able to say and truly believe sola scriptura. Scripture alone is the source of our teaching, the standard against which all other teachings are judged. Our belief is not based on our own ideas, not on logical inferences, not on reasonable deductions, nor on mixtures of human argumentation and the Word of God. Show it to me in the Word. Show me in the pages of Scripture. And when Lutheranism has failed, it has always been because this has wavered. Because when we lose Scripture, we lose the center of Scripture. We lose Christ, who gives us this word. When Lutheranism failed to follow the word, salvation through grace, through faith in Christ alone, fell with it. But the great intellectual strength of Lutheranism is its ability to affirm what God teaches and reject what God denies and then stop. Oh, we sometimes put a label on it. A label that really means, I'm not quite sure how this all works because I'm not God, but I know what he says. Real presence, in with and under. Simultaneously saint and sinner. The hows of it elude me, but the truth of it is revealed by God. And so we believe. We're satisfied with what God says. Now, it takes time first to figure out that God, if God has said things about it, but if God has not spoken, we stand on the word of God and it alone, realizing that we may not be privy to all the facts known to the mind of God. We are, in fact, utterly reliant on his revelation. And if he doesn't explain everything, we can be content knowing that our gracious God reveals what we are able to understand and what is for our good. But where he speaks and doesn't reveal all the details, there we have mystery. And that's the sense in which the New Testament uses this word. There are things beyond our experience or knowledge without God's revelation. Colossians 2:2 speaks of God's mystery, which is Christ. We can only know what God was doing in Christ when he reveals it to us, because we never would have figured out the incarnation without that. In Matthew 13:11, Jesus tells the disciples, "To you it has been given to know the secrets, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." They had to be given to them because they couldn't figure it out. And in 1 Corinthians 4:1, St. Paul teaches the congregations about their pastors, saying, "This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God." It means that the calling of a pastor is to faithfully proclaim God's word and sacraments to his congregation. Now, when we think about it in these biblical terms, we do see that ours is a faith of mysteries, that God reveals things to his people that are different than the way that people might invent by their own thinking. We've said it before, but consider all the religions of the world. The religions of man all propose ways in which human beings can earn salvation or enlightenment or union with the divine or whatever their goal happens to be. All of them answer in, "Here, do these things. Do them well and you might have a chance." But there is one religion, one that doesn't follow this ordinary human idea. Christianity doesn't show what we must do, because it's not true. It doesn't work. Christianity shows us what Christ has done as God reveals himself. It might be mysterious, but God doesn't leave us to solve it ourselves. He reveals himself. And the cross of Christ shows this as a sign, a revelation of mystery. Just consider some of the things that were in our text tonight, some of these mysteries. Simon of Cyrene exchanged for Jesus in carrying the cross, and could he know that he was bearing the implement of death for Jesus, who was coming to be exchanged for him? Women mourn and lament for the Lord Jesus, but he sorrows for them and for their children. The one who will judge all creation at the last day is condemned with two criminals. The head of the body, the glorious head of the church, is crucified at the place of the skull. The rulers and soldiers who owe their very authority to the establishment of God for government, their divine appointment, mock their true king and the only source of their authority. They think it derision to use his proper titles. The king is lifted up, but not in glory, on a cross. And of all people, the only one in this passage to come to his defense is a convicted, guilty criminal. And that criminal is assured a place in paradise. When we know the identity of Jesus, how can this make sense to a human mind? Why would he choose to do such a thing? Because of the mystery of God's grace. Because this is who he is. And in all these things, God reveals a plan beyond any human expectation. One that can only be known when God, at his initiative, shows us what he would do for us. But today is another day of mysteries as well. March 25th is the festival of the Annunciation of our Lord. You heard it here first. There are 9 shopping months left before Christmas. And on this day, the church celebrates the Annunciation, God's revelation to Mary of the fact that she, a virgin, would bear the Messiah. And she answers immediately, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." How can it be that a virgin can conceive miraculously? But more significantly, how is it that the baby within her is an ordinary child and yet so much more, the incarnate Son of God? What wonder is this that starting with a single cell, a miraculous zygote, God would come in the flesh? In one single cell, the Savior had united Godhead with all humanity. And there he dwelled in the temple of Mary's womb. How can this be? We celebrate tonight the incarnation of our Lord. Salvation begun in a mystery revealed because we know it was for a purpose. God was revealed in the flesh. God that took that flesh to the cross where it would be killed in a substitutionary sacrifice. And all of this mystery, from conception to crucifixion to resurrection, is about trading places. Our Savior exchanges places with us. For when we failed to live the life that God had called us to, he came and obediently lived it, perfectly obedient to the Father's will. At the end of that life, though he was innocent and deserved nothing, though he had the ability to stop it all, he took the lashes and the beatings and the crucifixion that belonged to us. He accepted the taunts and the insults of the guilty without complaint, dying to forgive them even as they spoke words of hate, even as they caused him physical and mental anguish. In one of his Christmas hymns, Martin Luther wrote, "He is a servant, I a Lord." How great a mystery. And this mystery finds its highest expression right here. Behold your God, nailed to a tree. See the sacrificial victim suffered in your place. See the innocent one with your sin heaped upon him. And behold the mystery that he chose this. He welcomes this because he knows what it does for us. He takes it all so that it can be taken from us and placed on him. Behold the sign of the cross, a sign of mystery as life is delivered over to death, as the innocent is killed while the guilty are forgiven and live. And through death comes another mystery, the mystery and miracle of resurrected life. Behold the cross. Behold your death, for your sin has died with him. And here is your life. United with Christ, we live with him. Here at the cross, God's mystery is revealed. In the name of Jesus, amen.